just pray that you would anoint him as he speaks to us and anoint him in his service, both here at Acton and in this country, in Jesus' name.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, fantastic to be here, and you know, always an honor to be in these Unity services. And I want to say a big thank you to Angie Ock, because Dorcas and myself, we've been in Acton now for over 34 years. But I've always heard the name Antioch while I've been here, and even before I got here. So. So I want to say thank you for bringing us together as different churches to celebrate together, because you always had a heart over these years for unity. So thank you for doing that. And it's fantastic to be here from many different churches today. I was just going to, just before I begin, I was just going to ask Dorcas to come up, my wife, and she felt something from the Lord as well. That's okay.
Thank you. I just want to echo some of what Paula? So said about God being pleased with everyone coming together, what you did with Antioch. But I just had that sense while I was standing there, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the Father and to accomplish his work in John 4. And I believe what Antioch is doing is decorating the heart of a father who cares for his children. The denominations were not in the original plan of God's heart. He just wanted his children, his church, to work together. And if we unite, nothing would be impossible for the church. I want to really encourage you with that. And the other scripture was in Psalm 27, verse 4. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing that I seek, is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. I believe as the house of God comes together, God's will is going to be accomplished through his church, his people. Now, I just want to say thank you for all that you're doing, Antioch. We are so grateful for all the blessing that you bring to us personally and so many churches in this area. Thank you.
Fantastic. So that brings me to our message for today, which is about being united by his glory. And I don't have a screen seals there, so I'll have to tell you well happy that's fine. Our scripture today that we're focusing on, as you can see, is John chapter 17, verse 20 to 23. It says, "My Jesus' prayer in the upper room before he went to Gethsemane. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you send me and have loved them even as you have loved me." So I think the first point I just want to make today is that Jesus wants us to be one. Amen?
Amen. Very amen.
Jesus prays. And one thing I love about Jesus, there's a lot of things I love about Jesus. One thing I love about Jesus is that he was demonstrated such dependence on the Father. You know, that he prayed. At the end of that time, he knew he needed to pray. And he prayed with his disciples. And we see there the importance of Jesus' relationship with the Father, Abba Father. There was an intimacy that sustained Jesus through his ministry. No matter what he was doing, he might be in great revival. He may be seeing great healings and deliverances and people following him. But he would go up the mountain in the morning to pray. Sometimes to the frustration of Peter, who thought he should be down there getting on with the work. But sometimes Peter, you would be telling Jesus, "I think you should be doing this." You know, maybe we do it sometimes. But Jesus knew he had to be dependent on his Father. "I only do that which I see the Father do." And so he was sustained by his relationship with God. Another thing I think we see here is that we see the power of the message, or the word, causes people to believe. he prays for those who will believe through their message or through their word, through their logos, as they share the gospel. And it's important for us as Christians to speak. You know, there's so much that's going on in the world at the moment that seems to be anti-Christ, that seems to come against unity, seems to come against God's heart for the world. And people are in despair, and it's important that we speak. I had a friend who used to be part of our leadership. He joked with me one time, and he said, you know, someone at my workplace became a Christian, and they came to work, and they said, guess what, I've become a Christian. And so my friend said to them, oh, that's amazing, that's fantastic. He said, oh, what, are you a Christian as well? And he said, yeah. And he thought he'd been a really good witness. And he said to him, well, no, you're the reason I didn't become a Christian. And he said, what? Why? He said, well, because you were so good, and I thought you can be good without needing God. Can you see? So although he had been demonstrating God's character and God's life, he had never mentioned his faith. He'd never mentioned you. So it gave someone the conclusion you don't need God. And so there are times when we have to actually speak and share something of who Jesus, what he means to us. And it's been a privilege for me to be on the streets of Acton at different times with the Turning, when we've gone out there. Many of you have gone out with us and just shared the simple gospel with people, whether we've been from Catholic backgrounds, Baptist backgrounds, Anglican backgrounds, Methodist background, Pentecostal backgrounds. And we've all been on the streets just sharing the message of Jesus. And we've seen young people giving their lives to Jesus, or at least making prayers of commitment to Jesus. We've seen people that have experienced healing on the streets as well. I remember a young Muslim man who I prayed with in Acton Park. And as I was sharing with him, he said, well, I'm a Muslim. I said, that's okay, Jesus still loves you. He said, okay, that's okay then. And so we carried on and just shared the simple gospel. And at the end of that, he was in his early 30s. He prayed with my wife and I, and just asked Jesus to come into his heart. And afterwards, he just said, oh, thank you so much. He just experienced something of God's love in his heart. And it made me realize, sometimes we shut our minds to people experiencing God. But God just loves everyone, as we heard earlier on today, from every background, every nation. And God will give opportunities for us to share with them. And so Jesus prays here for oneness, that we would be one. And I believe it refers to being having a unity of mind, having the mind of Christ, no matter what tradition we're from or what background, but we all acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Having a unity of purpose, that we're here to fulfill both the great commandment to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul and mind, and love our neighbour as ourselves, and the great commission to go and make disciples of all nations. And so he wants us to have a unity of mind and purpose and love among us as believers. John later talks of people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation. And we heard that scripture today. Standing before the throne and worshipping the Lamb. Isn't that incredible that Jesus, the Lamb, who was slain for us from the foundation of the earth, is the one that unites from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. There's something of a oneness that comes as we look at Jesus, who bled for all of us. And it is amazing right now, and I don't know if you've noticed it, but I think there is such a hunger in our nation for something that is more real, something that is more objective and truthful, because there's so many truths out there now, and there's so many opinions out there on social media and in the world, and even in politics and all kinds of things going on right now. And people are like, what's the truth? And it's amazing, and I don't know if you've noticed it, that this quiet revival that's going on right now, but suddenly, and I'm like, because, you know, I've been around a little while. I'm suddenly, wow, you're hearing footballers mentioning the name of Jesus. Sports people mentioning the name of Jesus. Celebrities mentioning the name of Jesus.
people on the right and people on the left mentioning the name of Jesus. Something's happening. Even politicians, even the BBC the other day, I just heard on the news, just openly allowing discussions about Jesus and about faith. And I think God is doing something. Something maybe we've cried out for and prayed for many, many years. God is doing something in our nation. And it makes me weep, actually, because I've cried out to God for decades, please do something in the UK. I've heard about it in Africa. I've seen it in Africa. I've heard about it in South America. I haven't been there, but heard about it. I've heard about it in Asia and other parts. Do something in the UK. And I believe there is a stirring now. Yeah. Something is happening. Well done for your prayers. Well done for crying out for this nation. We thank you. And for those that have come to this nation as well, to minister in this nation, thank you. Because God loves this nation and he's stirring again those things that were there in the beginning. So Jesus prays that we are one. That intimacy of that oneness, that we are caught up into the fellowship of what we were singing today, of the Father and of the Son, and united by the Holy Spirit. There's a word that Eastern and Western theologians use. I don't know if you've heard it before. Some of you would have heard it. Perichoresis. Anyone heard that word before? Yes? No. I mean, if you study theology, you're like, perichoresis, what does it mean? I don't know, but it sounds good, you know? But perichoresis is that sense of the mutual indwelling of the Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father, and the Spirit is in both, representing perfect, eternal, and inseparable fellowship. However, there's also a diversity in that unity. And I believe that God is saying, as God is a community of love, he wants us to reflect that on the earth as a community of love. That we reflect with all that difference, and yet Jesus unites us. With all that different, yet the Holy Spirit connects us. And so, how does that oneness come about? We have to participate in Jesus, who is our peace. In Jesus, who has broken down every wall and united us. How? By giving us his glory. And that's our message today, that we are united by his glory. We are united by his glory. And Jesus said, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. And in the Old Testament, the glory is known as the kavod. That's the Hebrew term. It can be translated as God's honor, God's glory, a respect for God. It even comes from a root word that means heavy or weighty. That kind of sense of the weightiness of God in the house. That sense of what we sensed here today, that presence of the Holy Spirit amongst us. In Exodus 14, we read in verse 34, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. That was the tabernacle in the wilderness. But we know later on when the first temple was dedicated, the same thing happened, that Shekinah glory, that kavod, glory of God, came so strongly that it says the priests could not stand to minister. All they could do was lie prostrate before God because of his presence. God's glory, God's presence, the weightiness, the value of who God is, that sense of his presence. In the New Testament, the word there is doxa, meaning God's appearance, his splendor, his brilliance, his brightness, his reputation, recognition of who God is, his manifest presence. All that is excellent in the divine nature of God, his image. And so God says that image, his weightiness, his presence, he's given to us. Isn't that incredible? He's given that to us so that we might be one. united in him. We're told that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by him, and without him nothing has come into being that has come into being. But we're told that very Word of God, Logos of God, the logic, the science of the universe, the Devar, the essential prophetic life of God, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we're told that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we see his glory, glory as of the one and only, full of grace and truth. And so when we look at God's glory, it's his very nature, and his nature is full of grace, and his nature is full of truth. You could say his nature is full of generosity, but his nature is also full of truth. His truth that sets us free. And I wanted to read that in the Message Bible that says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw him. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. And doesn't that give you a sense of security? That when we say, no, I haven't got it all together, God, but I can trust in you, you can transform my life. And I remember as a 13-year-old boy walking into a little Baptist church in Peckham and with some friends of mine and hearing the gospel and just realizing that it was true and repenting of my sins, even as a 13-year-old. I still have plenty of sins to repent of. And feeling that sense of God washing me by his blood clean and feeling that sense of freedom inside and being filled with the Holy Spirit at the age of 15, having a real profound experience of Jesus where I felt his glory and I felt a sense where I would maybe at 10 o'clock at night say, I'm just going to pray for 10 minutes before I go to bed. And sometimes I would be there for hours weeping, laughing, and having a sense of him purifying me, taking out of me lusts, taking out of me wrong ways of thinking, and purifying me, preparing me for my life and for his purposes, showing me that he was my father. I didn't grow up with my father. I knew him when I was up to the age of 4, then I met him again when I was 13. But God put that security in me that if I follow him, all will go well. Amen? And so God wants us to know that glory in our lives. Now I want to show you a diagram if this will work. We've got righteousness. That's right relationship with God and with each other. God's truth. But there is sin. Lots of people don't talk about that word today, but there's sin, isn't there, in the world. And that's rebellion, where we don't want to do things God's way, and spiritual death, a separation from God. But there's truth. But God knows that we start over here, not knowing him, in sin, and bound in different things in our lives. But God's mercy on the cross, God's grace, his generosity, reaches out to us in our darkness, where we're in that separation from God, reaches out in his generosity. His glory, we've heard, is full of grace, full of generosity. He reaches out. No matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, that's an incredible love of Jesus. That's why people couldn't understand Jesus, the people that he reached out to, because he had that love. And redeems, pays the price for us, pleads by his blood with the Father, cleanses, and brings us into a place of rightly relationship with him, but also oneness with each other, of all those who come to know him. Unfortunately today, we don't want to receive grace and be rescued from sin in our world. Instead, we want to move what truth is. And unfortunately, when we move what truth is over to here, it's compromise. And now there's no rescuing. We just affirm people in where they're at. Rather than saying there's an incredible, beautiful Saviour who wants to free you from that by the blood of his cross and bring you into a place of freedom. And I think we can say that because as we experience his glory, and I know for me as a teenager, experience his glory, it changed me and transformed me on the inside. I believe Jesus converts us. Amen? and transforms us on the inside. So we can never say, I just affirm you in what you are. We say, no, Jesus affirms you in who he's made you, his creation. He loves you. And he wants to bring you to a place of freedom and really being rejoicing in who he's made you and who he's making you. Amen? And that's the power of the gospel. But as many as received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Some versions say the authority and the power to become a child of God. Isn't that a beautiful gift? That glory that's on Jesus is so generous, but still truthful. I like Jesus. Sometimes we don't like Jesus, do we? Sometimes he says, does no one else condemn you? Neither do I condemn you. And we think, oh, that's a bit over-generous, Jesus. And then sometimes sometimes it's the other way. We say, you know, and that's what Jesus said. He's just so generous to everyone. And he is. But then we forget the bit, go away and sin no more. Amen? Because he's full of grace, but he's also full of truth. And so he always calls us as we are. We come as we are. But we don't stay as we are because he transforms and does a work in us as we draw close to his glory. Because, you know, as we are, we will be divisive. We will have cliques. I like these ones. I don't like these ones. You know? But Jesus breaks down the barriers and unites us. And so that it's not about, well, I like these ones, but these ones I don't like. It's about, actually, the generosity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That beautiful community could have just stayed as love, couldn't they? God loving the Father loving the Son, the Holy Spirit honoring the Father and the Son. But that love stretched out further and created us. And then that love stretched out further and wounded itself, himself, to let us in. Amen? And if we're going to really share that generous glory of Jesus that he's given us, then we have to be willing to let others in. And sometimes that disturbs us as a lovely community. You know what I mean? But actually, as we let others in, they come as they are, but they don't stay as they are, because then Jesus does his work of transformation inside of him. Amen? And so, as we behold his face, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we are transformed. As we behold his glory, we're transformed by his glory into the same image from one degree of glory to another. I love that word transformed, because that word transformed is the same word they used for Jesus when he was transfigured. In other words, he was transformed. There's an actual transformation that takes place when we come to Jesus. The word metamorphosis is transformed, transfiguration. To change form, we get the word metamorphosis from this Greek word. A marked change in appearance, character, condition, or function. And so Jesus does that inside of us. And so that transformation that takes place means we are unified in Christ. And sometimes this is not an institutional unity. It doesn't mean we all have to be under exactly the same institutional denomination. When Jesus said to his disciples, he said, for he who is not against us is for us. They were complaining that there were some that hadn't gone with the disciples, and they were casting out demons and healing the sick. And they said, you know, we rebuked them. And Jesus said, no, if they're not, those who are not against us are for us. In other words, they are in the mission as well. They might be doing it in a slightly different way to the way we're used to doing it, but they're still owning the name of Jesus. Now, sometimes it sounds like it contradicts something else Jesus said, because Jesus also said this, didn't he? He also said, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. But he said, with me. Sometimes people are with me, but they're with a different group of disciples, amen? But they're still with me, amen? And that's what we do when we look around the room today. We still acknowledge, maybe we do things slightly differently, but we're all with him. We all acknowledge him. And so I can acknowledge, and I don't normally say this, but to my Catholic friends today, I can say, I've been so proud of what the Pope has been saying recently about Jesus. I've been going, amen, amen, okay? So I've been a good Baptist, being a good Catholic, cheering on the Pope, amen. And so we can acknowledge that and see what, as we unite in Christ with Jesus in the centre. Final point. The world will know.
Yes.
The world will know. And I think when the world sees the church, with all its differences, still united in Christ, still speaking the same message of the gospel, still healing the sick, caring for the poor, healing the broken, visiting those in prison, bringing a good influence into the workplace, into the neighbourhood, they say, who are these people who love one another? You know, sometimes when we've been out together, they say, which church are you from? I said, well, I'm from the Baptist Church on the road. They're from the Catholic Church. They're from Yang. And people are baffled, like, oh, yeah, because we all love Jesus and we want you to know the love of Jesus. Amen. And so the quiet revival in the UK is encouraging, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, attendance has risen by 50% over the last 6 years. Isn't that exciting? And the most dramatic growth increase is among young adults, especially young men. Praise God. I saw this in The Guardian the other day, that Bible sales in this country since 2019 have gone up by 134%. Something's going on in the nation. God is doing something. And so when we are united, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity, then the world will know that you sent me and I have loved them even as you have loved me. When the presence of God is on us as a church, it makes such an impact. They say that, as they've done research on this, those that have started attending church, started experiencing God, find themselves more purposeful, more hopeful, more involved in community. Their mental health is better. Obviously, we all suffer at different times from mental health, but they're saying, comparing to the rest of the population, and there are greater acts of kindness. And that's research, as we know, done by the Bible Society and by YouGov. So it's interesting that this is actually working its way out so that people can see the world. Then the world will know that you sent me and had loved them even as you have loved me. And so, as we unite together, we share the gospel, because the glory of God is on us, then as we cooperate together, God does a work. And I just wanted to finish with this story today, because I think it involves quite a few of us in this room, in different ways, and different churches. And we were out in, it must be now nearly 2 years ago, I think it was, and someone from another church and a young lady who'd come from Sweden went out, and they shared the gospel with a chap who was just sitting on a bench outside McDonald's. And he won't mind me saying his name is Faisal. He's from Kuwait originally, from a Muslim background, and he had found himself homeless after a divorce. And they just shared the simple gospel with him. They just evangelized. They just shared the gospel with him. And she was going back to Sweden. The other chap was from a little distance from here, so they called me up and said, Alex, this person has prayed a prayer with us of wanting to know Jesus. Can you disciple him? So I then got involved. So that was cooperation of at least three different churches there. And so I met him the next day. At first he was objectionable because he didn't know me, but we got to know each other. For 5 days he was so hungry for God that I was able to disciple him through what is salvation, what is repentance, what is baptism, what is being filled with the Holy Spirit. By the end of the time he said, I want to get baptized. I'm a very thorough kind of pastor, so I held him off for a few more weeks, making sure he really understood. Meanwhile, Emmaus House was very helpful in feeding him and in helping him to find some accommodation. And they got him into the Ealing Night Shelter, Can you see how many different organizations and churches I'm talking about here? There was a whole working together to see this person spiritually whole, physically helped, emotionally whole. He then probably knows more Christians than I know now in Ealing, because he went from church to church, staying each night across the borough of Ealing. Some of you here may have met him as well. And in the night shelter. And eventually, he got some accommodation. He now goes out and shares the gospel with other people. He's led a few Muslims to the Lord. And he comes and he shares with different churches what God has done for his life. As we work together, united by his glory, the world will know that we're his disciples. Amen?
Amen.